All right, we are here with another live episode of Autodesk Digital Builder Podcast. I am your host, Eric Thomas, and I am sitting down today with David Brand, the Senior Project Manager from the British Antarctic Survey, and Neil Irving, Digital Construction Manager from BAM. And we're here to talk about a really interesting project. They've been working down in Antarctica, which is something that not all of us have an opportunity to do, to put it lightly, and just going to kind of get into the details and nuances of that project and some of their learnings from it. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Hi, Eric.
Are you feeling good? We're second day of AU, and you're both in a high demand, so I'm interested to see how you're both feeling.
It's busy. It's very busy.
Yeah, we really enjoyed it. A chance to meet so many people and talk about what we're passionate about.
The challenge there of doing really cool stuff is everybody wants to talk to you. But we're having fun here. The expo is kicking off today, and I wanted to get into a little bit more details about your project. And it's an incredible opportunity to be down in Antarctica, and not many people can say they've had the chance to work down there. Can you tell us what your feelings were the first time you actually learned about the project? Like, what were you thinking?
I think from my perspective, just what a fantastic opportunity it is. I mean, firstly, to work in the Antarctic on a really interesting build, but also for this project's perspective, it's going to change the way in which BAS works down the Antarctic. And so you feel like you're part of something bigger than just a building, almost a transformation in the way in which the organization is going to work. The focus on digital construction, sustainability, and also how the business is going to deliver scientific research in the future. It's just such a great opportunity. It's an opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah, I'd agree. Neil, how did you feel when you just learned about that project?
Yeah, so we heard about it as we were bidding to win the place on the project. And yeah, it was in high demand. There was a waiting list to join British Antarctic Survey project. So I was very privileged to be asked to be part of the project here.
I know personally the chaos of that bid and proposal thing, especially when it's something that you really want. I worked as a proposal manager or tender manager for years. So congratulations on winning that bid and getting the opportunity to get in there. I'd like to hear a little bit more, like, tell me about the importance of this project. Where is the value and what does it bring to all of the research and work that's happening down there?
Well, firstly, the Discovery Building and the SiteWise services are going to replace 6 existing buildings on the station of Rothera in the West Antarctic. And these buildings are coming to their towards the end of their life. So here was a great opportunity to really think about how we're going to work, operate, and deliver scientific research from this station. So it's broader than just a building. And yeah, we could start from scratch. So, you know, we looked at how BAS is going to work in the future. And we had some really good fun trying to work through the different spaces in this building, how we could sort of have multifunctional, multi-occupancy spaces that are flexible for use in the operation today, but really thinking ahead and how things are going to change in the future, both through the climate, the types of scientific research we're going to be doing in the Antarctic, and the way we're going to operate. So yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah, there's so much tied into that, especially when people are living and researching everything in such a small-knit community. The spaces that they're living and they have the opportunity to work in, it's such a different conversation. So I appreciate you sharing a little bit more nuance about that. I also like to hear, what were your individual roles tied to the project itself? Like, where did you fit into the puzzle?
I've had actually multiple roles on the project. I joined the project as a quality manager, so looking after the quality of what we build on project. I've done a role of design coordinator, and then latterly I've been working as the digital construction manager, so looking after the BIM, looking after the information management, the cool digital tools that we use to get things right in Antarctica. Yeah.
Makes sense. And the number of people that you can actually bring down there is narrow. So it makes, I can see why you wear many hats and your role has shifted over time. David, how about yourself?
I've worked on the project since 2018, when we really sort of started thinking about the concept of the building and the site-wide services. Right before that, I worked in engineering and construction, both in the military and in a consultancy practice. But what I really enjoy about the project is the opportunity to build in really a remote place. And really the logistical challenges that come with that, how we integrate the construction team with the scientists and the operational staff on the station. So it's really interesting, and it requires a lot of information exchange and data exchange, really, to get the right building for the right job.
I can imagine the logistics of just getting that set up are so immense, because it's not like you're building in a downtown city in London or San Francisco. If you didn't add it to the materials list, you don't have it.
I don't get it.
Yeah. And so you gotta fill the gap as best you can, or be very prepared in advance.
I've said that's like a huge constraint. It's something that we have to think very carefully about, but that's also a huge opportunity. So using the digital tools, figuring out workflows to get that right on British Antarctic Survey has actually helped BAM do better things on projects in the UK. It's taught us a lot about, you know, really great planning, making sure that we get things right before we ever see the site. And that's something that BAS has actually taught us.
So we do quite a lot of prefabrication and testing back in the UK. So we can identify where there might be challenges with the constructability, or there might be some issues with the design, and we can work through those. So we're not faced with those challenges when we're actually on site in the Antarctic.
And it makes a ton of sense that you'd be leaning into prefab, because you really set your standards and expectations before you show up. And so the logistics are hopefully a little bit streamlined compared to just ground up brand new construction with a mountain of materials that you've managed to bring on site. And I think that leads into my next question really nicely. And there were a lot of players in this project, and the partnership between them, I'm sure, was a key element of the Other World project success. So you had BAS, you had Ramboll, you had Sweco, you had BAM. What were some of the motivations for forming this partnership, and how did it influence the overall success?
So the partnership is over a 10-year span, so it's not just the Discovery Building and the SiteWise Services. We have a full program of work for the next 10 years. And we really wanted to partners on board that would take this journey with us, right from the early stages of development of the projects all the way through to completion and handover. We wanted to learn as well with our partners and develop better ways of working, delivery of projects and construction. And yeah, BAM and Sweco and Ramboll are brought on board with that. They really are excited about the opportunity to learn more about how we can deliver successful construction in the Antarctic.
And it makes sense. You're bringing in the key players that have the biggest impact, and a 10-year relationship, that's not a small thing in the construction industry, to be able to be that committed to one another.
Yeah.
And bringing learnings from your earlier projects to the ones that happen in 2, 3, 4, 5 years, I'm sure that has tremendous impact.
It's been a huge learning experience from the first project. I've been involved since 2017. Yes, we've learned with every single project, with every single season that we go down to Antarctica, we'll learn something else and improve the next season. So it's been great. And the partnership really works. We've got different expertise within all the different parties, including BAS. If anybody's really experienced about working in Antarctica, it's our customer. So our customer is part of that partnership and, you know, part of the process.
It's such a future-focused way to work in this industry. And we haven't always been as collaborative as the ideal state. And it sounds like your teams have found in this collaboration you're working on. So hopefully others out there can see the value in opening the doors a little bit and making sure that everybody's thinking about both the customer and everybody who's coming along for that journey. There's a big impact there.
It's a shared mutual interest. What's in the best interest of all partners to deliver a successful program of work. And so, yeah, we spend a lot of time considering and working on how we can build that relationship and that cultural spirit in the team.
So we talked a little bit about the challenges working in the Antarctic. Is there anything else that you'd like to highlight that's just either surprising or interesting, or like, how challenging is this environment really from the day-to-day perspective?
It's, well, firstly, there's a wide range of temperatures down the Antarctic. You can get down to minus 35 in the winter and up to about 15 degrees Celsius in the summer. So you really do have to consider about how, I guess, the materials that we're using are going to respond to those sort of quite that climate impact, but also how the climate's going to change in the future. Is it going to be windier? Is it going to be more rainfall in the Antarctic? And does the warming temperatures affect the permafrost? So really, when we're thinking about the design, you're not just thinking about, well, what are the conditions today, but potentially what the climate will look like in the future. And also, I suppose for me, the most surprising thing as well is just how the station looks in the winter compared to the summer. The occupancy rather varies from basically 20 people in the winter all the way up to about 140 in the summer. So
wow.
It's used very differently between different seasons in the year. And really, we want to make sure that the building infrastructure sort of fits with that occupancy.
I'm a technology nerd. I mean, we're here talking on Digital Builder at this point, so I think that kind of goes without saying. Can you tell me a little bit more about the role that technology played in the overall success of this project and the way you've been able to collaborate?
I would say that we haven't done anything cutting edge. We haven't been bleeding edge. We've done the basics well. We've used the tools that we have to the fullest ability that we've had. So we use a pretty generic software stack, so Revit, Civil 3D, and then Navisworks, amongst other tools, Power BI, things like that. But yeah, we haven't done anything incredible. We've just done the basics really, really well, used them to the maximum of the ability that we can to suit our purpose, really.
Do you have anything on the hardware side that's out there? Are you able to use drones or anything, or is the environment not forgiving enough for things of that nature?
We've used drones and live footage of the build, so it's great for BAS to see. Back in the UK, the progress being made on site for those that are not on station. But where I've seen the technology come to the fore is really how as a collaboration between partners, we've all sort of looked at the engineer or design solutions to actually overcome some of these challenges. It's a broad range of partners there and subcontractors and suppliers, and it's great that we're using this construction, these digital tools and technology to think about how we can do things better. Some of the areas that we've explored, basically our sustainability, our carbon assessment for the new infrastructure. So we use the one-step click life cycle assessment tool. And yeah, and the digital construction has really aided us in thinking about how we can be more efficient in our construction on station.
Well, one really important piece of the technology is recording how we left the site. So we leave the site every year. We do construction from November to May. And then in May, we leave the site. And then snow comes, you know, 20-foot deep snow in places. So yeah, we use laser scanners. We use a lot of point cloud. We use Holo Builder so that when we return home, we can give a representation of the site to the design teams, the suppliers, so they can all look like, how does it sit right now and how do we get ready for the next season? That's a really important piece of the technology that we use.
It sounds like the level of preparedness has just been so key to being successful both before and during. Like, you've got to dot all the I's and cross all the T's, and then when you show up, you're ready to go, especially such a narrow window to actually do all of the building that you're doing down there. It's incredibly impressive.
There is literally no way to hide. We have to be right. And that's the importance of the planning, using the digital tools. We have to be right when we get down on station.
From a planning perspective as well, we carefully select the personnel that go south because they're away for a long time, in a very remote place. We've got the greatest communication links back to their families, so we do need to consider carefully people's welfare and when they're down in the Antarctic. But yeah, you are totally right. There's a lot of logistical planning in getting a workforce of up to 50 season down to the Antarctic, and also getting materials down there as well, and really sort of considering how we're going to support construction from back home as well, so that those 50 construction team aren't just left to it. We need to have that link back to the UK and really sort of consider how we can support that construction team.
It makes sense. I'm sure there's a certain persona that you have to have to decide, I'm going to go work in the Antarctic and feel comfortable with that and not isolated. And that does lead to my final question for both of you today. Can you give me some more details? What's a day in the life? Like, from when you wake up until you go to bed, is it consistent? Is it different every day? And how do you interact with the other colleagues down there?
I'll leave that one. You're the expert at this one.
It's a 6-day week for everyone who works in construction. Generally starts at 7 o'clock in the morning. There's a morning brief where the construction manager will outline the details of work that day. But we also have 4-week look-aheads and meetings that morning where we will discuss with BAS what their program is looking like for the next 4 weeks. So we can sort of coordinate between construction and BAS on the activity.
When you say BAS, David, you're talking about the operations team, so the day-to-day operations, the science.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so because it's such a small station, you need to coordinate effort between all parties. And so, yeah, we need to understand what site's doing, what the air operations are up to, as well as the general operational staff. And they need to know what's going on with construction. So there's a lot of coordination. As a project manager, I would be walking around site, observing the work. We have the technical advisor as well that will, from Ramble, will be there to oversee the work, as well as from the lead designer, Sweco. And there's a morning smoko, which is like our first morning break, where the team get together. But the team are working right up to about 6-7 o'clock in the evening. It's a long day. Yeah, 6 days a week. There's also an opportunity for the team to connect with the scientists and explore perhaps some of what they're doing. So they might go out with the scientists or the field guides and learn a bit more about the Antarctic and the work that the scientists are doing. There's a annual football match between BAS and BAM, which is really enjoyable on the apron to the aircraft hangar.
How intense does the competition get for that?
Yeah, it's an intense game, but really enjoyable.
That is a lot of fun.
And because the bonding between BAS and BAM, Sweco and Rabble is really important to us because a team that's well knit together delivers success.
Yeah, I think in that environment, you've really hit it. The sense of community has to be strong. Otherwise, everybody's going to go a little bit crazy. I'm sure the persona, you got a lot of excited and interesting guys down there doing all the research. And it's cool that you have exposure to everything that's happening instead of just the actual construction piece. But like I said, that's the last question I've got for both of you today. Thank you so much for joining me here on Digital Builder. For anybody out there listening, this is Autodesk Digital Builder Podcast. We're recording live from Autodesk University all week. And again, just enjoy the rest of the event, gentlemen. And thank you for giving me a little bit of your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.